Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. I want to remind everybody before we get rolling to register now for the FTR Transportation Conference this September, September 13th. To the 17th in downtown Indianapolis at the Crown Plaza Union Station, back in person. We're going to have 4 days of content this year, 1 day for each of the major transportation areas, 1 day for truck and trailer equipment, 1 day for truck freight, 1 day for rail freight, and 1 day for rail equipment. So put it on your calendar now. Plan to be there. We'd love to see you back in person at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. We're looking forward to it for sure. We've seen a lot of you out at recent conferences in the industry. Hope to see more of you as we head to the fall. But do get the FTR Transportation Conference on your agendas, in your budgets. It will be well worth the investment of your time and your dollar to hear about where things are headed as we go forward. It seems as uncertainty and volatility have only become the norm. It's all the more important to have that insight, not just from FTR, but from a group of industry-leading experts to hear about what they see in the industry and where they think things are headed as we move forward. So let's jump in. Let's talk about where things are in the latest week. And, well, really, we saw typical behavior. We talked about last week how the numbers showed a typical holiday decline. Well, this week, we got a typical post-holiday bump in almost every sector. You saw a significant bounce back, right back to where we had been running in most cases before the Memorial Day holiday. That's a good sign. That suggests that demand is there. That suggests that there's demand to move goods through the rail system. So that is good as we head into the summer. Now, there were some exceptions, and we'll talk about those, particularly among those commodity groups that didn't show a holiday decline. So it'll be very interesting to see how some groups held firm, a couple in particular held firm during the holiday week, and then either did or didn't keep that trajectory up as we came out of things here in the week after the holiday. So let's jump right in. Let's talk intermodal. Intermodal bounced right back. It went down for the holiday and then right back to where it had been running before the holiday, which is just a smidge above its five-year average. We're still below last year's levels, but over the next, call it 3 or 4 weeks, those comparisons get significantly easier as we get into the back half of the year. So we would expect year-over-year comparisons to turn positive in the next couple of weeks. For the moment, we are back to where we were before the holiday. Again, a pretty straight line, a pretty flat line, really back to sort of Easter. From Easter on, it's been a pretty flat line for intermodal at a decent level, a strong level. The trailer side also bounced back. It did not quite get back to its pre-holiday level, but very close to that. But it continues to be stable at a low level, stable right around 18,000 or so trailers a week. That is less than our five-year average. That's less than last year, less than last year by a significant amount, almost 25%. But again, as I talked about last week, if you take a wider view of the trailer market, if you look back pre-pandemic, where we were in 2019, the 18,000 trailer week number is not so weak, not so out of the ordinary. We just had a couple of abnormal years here in 2020 and 2021 as folks looked for any and all available capacity, and some of that came in the domestic trailer market. Switching gears to containers. Containers, as you would expect, show largely the same trajectory as overall intermodal, essentially right back to where they were before the holiday, which you would expect because containers are 90% of the intermodal market. If this chart didn't look like overall intermodal, you would say, Todd, there's something wrong with your charts, something wrong with your data. It doesn't make sense. Luckily for us, it does make sense. The container market comes right back to where it was before the Memorial Day holiday. Again, suggesting that demand remains strong. Demand remains in place, despite all the headlines, all the talk of a freight recession, all of the worries about inflation. There is, to this point, still demand in the consumer system. Switching gears to the carload markets. The carload markets show a similar trajectory. We bounced right back in overall carload to where we were running before the holiday. Now, it's a little below last year and more than that below the five-year average, but ultimately, we did bounce back off the holiday. We did get back to where we were running right before Memorial Day, took a day out of the week, out of the system for us during the holiday week. Economically sensitive freight showed the very same trajectory. It bounced right back to where it had been running right before the holiday. That's a good sign. You've heard me say it on this podcast and in other venues before. Economically sensitive freight is what is going to drive carload growth over the long term. It is imperative that this number outperform overall carload and perform at a level that suggests that folks want to move goods by rail. As a refresher, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means no coal, no agriculture, no petroleum. Just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like lumber and wood, things like pulp and paper, you know, those sorts of sectors that respond more directly to demand drivers, that are less of a commodity market, more of a demand-driven scenario. But of course, you can't talk about carload without talking about those bulk sectors. Coal is still the largest carload sector by volume and will be for some time to come. As we look at it, it was one of the sectors, if you remember back to last week, that didn't really show a holiday decline. It just sort of kept on keeping on. Well, and that's exactly what it did coming out of the holiday. If you would look at the coal volume graph and you would say, holiday? What holiday? You know, it just doesn't show up in the data this year at all. It just continues to stay right about last year's levels, a little below the five-year average, but essentially right on last year's levels, flat to slightly increasing over the last several weeks. Again, when you get to $8, $9 per MMBTU gas, when you get to a very hot summer in Texas to start the year with the air conditioners going, ERCOT just last week broke its all-time record for electricity demand, that translates into support for coal volumes. And that is what we are seeing, at least through the first half of 2022. And we expect to see it continue all the way through the back half of the year. But it was sort of a tale of two sectors when you think about the bulk sectors that really didn't show a holiday effect. As we look at grain, it's a different picture. We got a bump last week during the holiday week, which was totally unexpected. And I speculated and discussed in this podcast the possibility that maybe demand was turning. Maybe we were finally seeing that demand increase we had expected for much of the year. Well, in the full week after the holiday, we went down, and we went down below where we were running before the holiday. So much for that theory. We are below last year by about 20%. We're below the five-year average by about that same number, and we continue to show weakness here through into June in the grain markets. We expect that will turn. We've expected it to turn by now. We expect that once the harvest comes in, we will start to see these volumes meaningfully inflect higher. But to this point, it has not happened. And in fact, coming out of the Memorial Day holiday shows a little bit more weakness than maybe you would have traditionally expected. Looking at the chemicals market, getting back into shifting back into those economically sensitive freight commodities, chemicals is really just right on pace with last year's number. And it's almost dead flat. It's been almost dead flat with last year for the last month. And it continues to hold that level. It continues to be flat to higher for the entirety of 2022. It is a sector that is expected to power carload growth, if we're honest about it, over the next several years. And it is at least holding firm, which is more than we can say about some carload sectors. And we'll talk about that as we go through here. Petroleum products, a big part of the chemicals market, it bounced back strongly in the post-holiday week. We're above where we were right before the holiday, but we are not back to the excuse me, to the peak levels we hit. We hit 2 weeks before the holiday. So some strength there, but still, ultimately, within that 19 to 20,000 carload a week range that we've hit over the last year and a half pretty consistently, we're still right there, right on that number. Not a whole lot of movement at all there. Stone, sand, and gravel bounced back nicely out of the holiday, in fact, above where we were running before the holiday. And in fact, in line with the seasonal bump that you typically see coming out of Memorial Day, as you start to see volumes really kick into gear, as you start to see volumes really ramp up for the summer construction season, we've certainly seen that typical behavior in the latest week, and we would expect it to continue at least in the next short run here over the next several weeks and months. Lumber and wood, it bounced back out of the holiday, but it did not get back to where it was before the holiday. It did not get back to those same levels. It's below the five-year average. It's below last year. And you've heard me talk about this being a category at risk, this being a sector that has a lot of downside potential to it when you think about where we are, when you think about housing, when you think about mortgage rates. Mortgage rates, 6.25% last week. That is a huge gain from where we were just a year ago when we were down in the threes. So that is a doubling of mortgage rates. That significantly affects how much house people can afford when they go into the market, whether they want to go into the housing market, whether they want to go in for a new residence. And that is going to have a headwind effect on lumber and wood as we go forward here. Housing is a huge demand driver for lumber and wood. And so to the extent that housing slows down, you're going to see that reflected in these numbers. Certainly the Federal Reserve decision this week with a three-quarter point rate increase will do nothing to bait the increase in mortgage rates and continue to be a headwind to the housing market. Pulp and paper. This is a sector that sort of bucked the trend. It did not come back after the holiday week. From the holiday week to where we are was basically dead flat. We didn't really see a post-holiday bump at all in pulp and paper. And this is a sector that, again, has some headwinds. When you think about the return to normalcy, the return to in-person shopping, moving away from e-commerce deliveries, moving away from delivered to your door, that is a headwind to boxboard demand. That is a headwind to brown paper demand. That is something we're going to have to watch in this sector as we go forward. But certainly a little bit of a bearish sign coming out of the holiday that we didn't see any improvement at all. Essentially flat with a holiday week in the latest week. We will keep our eye on that as we go through the summer. Automotive volumes, really very close to its five-year average. We saw a bounce back out of the holiday to essentially where we were running before the holiday, easy for me to say. And we're just sort of hanging out there. And again, we expect this to continue until we get to a point where the automotive supply chain normalizes, until we get to a point where that automotive supply chain starts to figure things out and get things settled. And then we expect it to meaningfully increase from a volume perspective. That has not happened yet. We expect it to happen at some point. But every time we talk to folks in this space, the timeline for that continues to get pushed out further and further. So right now, we will believe it when we see it, and we'll bump that growth into 2023. So to wrap up, carload intermodal in general bounced back pretty well from the Memorial Day holiday. They essentially are back to pre-holiday levels. There are essentially two exceptions, grain and pulp and paper. We'll keep our eye on those excuse me, as we go through the summer. What is not known, and one of the big uncertainties, is what is the effects not just of the ongoing contract negotiations on the West Coast on intermodal volume through the summer and through the peak season, but also what are we going to see on the service side? There were new service metric reporting required by the STB this week. There were also the threat of fines for non-compliance. The chairman expressed a couple of weeks ago that he is not happy at all with the carriers over their initial response to the agency, and we will have to see exactly what that means going forward. What does that mean for how much stick is he going to use on the carriers as we go over the next few weeks and months? We will keep an eye on that and see also what it does to service overall. And with that, I'm going to thank you for joining us this week. Hopefully you all enjoyed the holiday last week. Hopefully you're getting back in the swing of things for the summer, making your summer and fall plans. As I said off the top, we hope to see you in Indianapolis this September. That would be great to see your faces again, back smiling and in person. And with that, always feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you have questions about the podcast, questions about the reports, questions about just what you're seeing in your business. We'd love to have those conversations. That's why we get up in the morning to talk about transportation, to talk about what's going on in the transportation market. Do feel free to reach out at any point. We'd love to have those conversations. And with that, have a great week. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week. Take care.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.